Always Holding to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Nathan McKenzie, Dallas Hernandez, Gavante Chillis, Chris Fuchs, Joe Mickendo, Steve Rogers, Thomas Navin, Tim Miller, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, John Lloyd, Mariana Sachi, Alana Gibbs, Rachel Miller, Casey Cochran, Andrew Parker, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Dylan D'Antonio, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Kathleen Holland, Tom Gerke, T. Hamill, Nicholas Cosso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Darren Kirch, and Jessica Kaminsky. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Holding to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show around 2001-2011 on the WB and the CW. But we're back with another Crisis special! Number three! Three nights in a row we're doing this. All right? And I am very happy that we have a month break to get back to living my life.
Do you guys remember sleep?
No.
So anyway, I'm your host, Zach Moore.
Lance Laster.
Lance Laster's back, and we have
Matt Truax right here. Thank you for having me, guys.
What's up, Matt? So, Matt, why don't you just give everybody just a brief description of how you watch Crisis on Infinite Earths tonight?
So from a couple thousand miles away from your living room, I crashed your viewing party. Zach knew that this was an important episode for me, as the Birds of Prey have premiered, and we'll get into that in a second. But you basically put your computer, I'm guessing, up to the TV, put the microphone towards the TV, and I watched essentially through underwater camera lens. Like, it was very... I got the visuals, but I couldn't hear all the dialogue too well, basically because of... What's-his-name's music overpowering quite a lot of the scenes. But I got most of it, and it was a very strange way to watch television. Very, like... Felt like I was in a dorm room again, trying to stream like old Smallville and whatnot. but I am not complaining. Thank you for all the effort you went through, Zach, so that I could be here and watch New Gotham die.
Yes. So, you know, people. So this is part three. The Birds of Prey were in this episode. At least two of them were, sort of. So. What did you think of the first two parts, Matt? Just a brief nutshell of where, how far we've come so far in Crisis.
So the first one was exciting. It was thrilling. And then afterwards, it was a little let down because we all knew that Oliver wasn't going to stay dead. There was a lot of setup that they had to do. So I thought it was an exciting start, but also kind of like, yeah, let's see what tomorrow is. Last night, Monday night, what was it? Batwoman. Was one of the greatest episodes or hours of television that these people have ever given us. I absolutely loved it. I have no complaints at all about the Smallville of it. Brandon Routh's Superman was incredible. And then I thought the Kevin Conroy stuff was great. And I'm not someone who likes a dark, killy Batman, but they give us a dark, killy Batman. And I thought it was a great way to do it. And also, like, leaves the opportunity that he can come back as a less killy Batman, maybe, in the future. Last night just kind of blew me away. And this one was in between, but we'll get into it.
I agree. I do feel like tonight was in between.
Yeah.
Of the two, so of the three that we have so far, the three parts. So this is the Flash episode.
Yes.
Of Crisis on Infinite Earths. I mean, they're all... I mean... The way you tell is, like, who's supporting cast is in this episode.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's basically...
Batgirl got gypped, or Batwoman got gypped.
Yeah, I mean, she got alternate universe Lucius Fox.
Yeah.
Luke was it.
But hers kind of took, like, we had Smallville, we had Kevin Conroy, right? So Brandon Routh, Superman, obviously. Yep. So there's a lot of other things going on, mm-hmm. and that's fine.
A cameo from Rachel Scarston in a photo,
in a picture.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. With a wig.
Who is not in this episode?
No.
I was thinking they might unite the three birds of prey again. Well, what were your hope when you heard like months ago that Ashley Scott was going to be in Crisis? I understand what you hoped for, but what did you realistically think we would get?
I realistically thought either it would be kind of what we got, that especially after the, well, we're talking months ago, either that it was going to be a one and done little scene of like a bunch of different, you know, universes looking at what's going on. And I was just, I'm still honestly really happy just to have them involved in it at all. The pie in the sky for me was I had just finished rereading Crisis on Infinite Earths, and Helena Wayne has a part to play in that. And
she
her she comes back in the end, and her death is kind of significant. So there was part of me that was like, oh, you know, she is in the comic pretty well. Never thought that we'd get any sort of Oracle representation. Thought she would just kind of be skulking around on a rooftop looking around. I honestly thought that she might have tied into the Robert Wool of it all, and they would just kind of merge those, you know, Batman 89 mm-hmm. and Birds of Prey fully. But I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and complain that, like, it was just one scene and then she disappeared. I did take a little umbrage of, like, oh, we have to see her disintegrate? Really? No, you took her away from me 17 years ago and let's do it again, you know?
But, so Earth 203?
203. Well, this was...
Yeah, 2003. Like, I mean,
this was your theory on what Smallville should be, right?
Yeah, like 201 or 21 or...
Yeah.
Here's the thing, right? Okay, we're in the hundreds now, right?
Yeah.
So they put it 167 because Al Goff and Miles Millar were born in 1967. So, okay, cool. Hey, give them some credit, right?
Sure.
But I think it really throws off all the numbering of all the other Earths are based off like what year the shows came out in. Like,
right.
You know, call it Earth 201, right? And then Birds of Prey would be Earth 202.
Yeah, there's that, too, because it premiered
in 2002.
Yes.
Yeah.
It limped into 2003.
Did they ask the interns to do all the graphics? They're like, all right, look up what year this show came out and just take a zero out, okay? And they're like,
I was just honestly really happy they said New Gotham and not, like,
yeah,
Gotham.
That's really cool. That's the Birds of Prey specific thing. So they got that. I guess we saw the Watchtower disintegrate. I mean, she was looking at it, I think.
I guess.
Was that the clock tower?
It didn't look like a clock tower. It was just a building.
Yeah, just a building or whatever.
Well,
but,
you know what? The bat signal didn't look like the bat signal in Batman.
I know, and the Joker's alive, so what are you going to do?
No, I heard a really cool theory about that, and I kind of agree with it.
Go for it.
It's, so obviously they used the Batwoman bat signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then also the Joker's alive in these newspapers. But if it's in the modern times... Right,
uh-huh.
It's a Batman Beyond situation, and it's the Batman Beyond back signal, and it's Return of the Joker. Yeah, it's my headcanon.
But it's still okay.
Fan justification at its finest. Okay,
yeah, really.
Cool.
Well, I mean, what else do you want me to do?
Well, there's the Jerry Ordway art. I mean, like it's him.
Well, the Joker died 30 years ago.
I'm not begrudging you of it. I'm just, you know, just calling it like it is.
It's all
fan
good.
Justification. It's
Zach,
whatever.
Well, yeah.
Zach, you and I were talking about earlier the President Lex line and fan justification for that. Like, I understand, right. And it's fine. And
So I do want to make a point about that. Like, a lot of people, first of all, as I expected, a lot of people are all really upset.
I don't
about
understand
how
why. It was
out.
A wonderful ending.
I kept saying it's on brand. Like,
yep,
like in the
totally.
First, like he all the guy wanted to do was be normal,
mm-hmm.
right? And like that's what he got. He got
some
his wish.
Some of the best episodes of Smallville are when he is normal.
Yes, and there's no betrayal of the character. He felt like Clark. He felt like him. It was great to see him evolved into the Superman role. Finally, you know, even though he had given it up.
I'll ask you guys this: what is a more fitting epilogue or ending to the Smallville story? Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2. Or the Smallville series finale. Because I'm going to hot take. I'm going to say Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 2. Because I'm like, you know what? That's the show I've been watching.
Oh.
And that's the ending for that show. The problem, Smallville, they turned into something they weren't. And they had to finish it up. And like, hey, you guys like Darkseid? And you guys like the Christopher Reeve Superman movie? And you got like President Lex? And we got Smallville? And oh, here's Chloe and Green Arrow over here.
Right.
All this stuff, you know, collapsed under its own weight. But this is like a true ending to like what a Smallville, like what it was, right?
Yep.
I don't know. Like I am, as you guys know, I am not some blind fanboy who's going to like anything they throw at me. All right? I'm not. You listen to me on this podcast every week, and I complain about my favorite show, and I tell you guys how horrible it is on a weekly basis.
Always all right? Hold on to Hateville. Yeah.
It's all good. So anyway.
I hear you complain about much more things. So.
Yeah. Okay. The paragon of hate over here. So, so I'm not just saying, like, I'm not like, oh, well, it's great, guys. It's Smallville, right? No, I really think it was an appropriate ending to the character. So, Lance, what's your take on that?
I agree with you.
So you like that better than finale for the end of those characters?
Yeah.
Okay, good. What about you, Matt?
I mean, we've all gone on record for the finale for the Patreon saying how many problems we have with it. Yeah, that was a wonderful... That was far more satisfying to me than than the finale, yes.
So my only... And we're going to get to this tonight's episode real quick. But Smallville aftermath here for a second. So, because there's really, I feel like we won't have as much to say about tonight's episode. So this will go by quicker than the last one because there was so much going on.
That's true.
Yeah.
So my only caveat with like, why would Clark give up his powers at this time to have a family and stuff? Is Lex Luthor is still president? Doesn't make any sense, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But people call former presidents, you know, president.
Right.
Right. So, and also, and this has been unconfirmed, people are telling me there's some interview somewhere or Guggenheim or Berlanti said that takes place 17 years after Smallville. So I don't know if that's 17 years after 2011 or 17 years after 2018.
Right.
But if it's even further in the future, that makes even more sense because that means he was Superman for longer and had kids after he didn't have superpowers. Obviously, if he has multiple children now, unless Lois had twins, then they would have been conceived and born when he had powers.
Yep.
So there's all that. And people are like, I wanted more of an explanation. I'm like, what? You got to be realistic about this, people, right? This is a gift to us to kind of tie off the Smallville universe. And I thought it was perfect. And it all on the shoulders of Tom Welling, who completely sold it.
Oh, yeah. To quote himself about, like, you know, talking about John Glover, dude was a beast. Like, he was great.
And to see him and John Kreisler, like, Zutha together, like, that's an amazing combination. And that was so unexpected, so.
All I've been trying to think all day is what they were going to do with Rosenbaum. Like, was Rosenbaum going to become Cryer at some point? Because Cryer is a big part of this crossover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
into tonight's episode, too, you know? Right.
And into the finale.
Into the future. Well. And I love it. Like, I'm so glad he's here. And Lex was a huge part of the original, too, you know?
Alexander Luthor... From Earth 3.
Yes.
So, so I don't know. There's no way to know. It's like they had a framework and they're like, all right, we're going to ask anyone we possibly can to be in this and we'll see who says yes and we'll build it around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's kind of where we are. But yeah, I have no idea how they fit Rosenbaum, other than my theory I said in the last episode. Now, all the Earths have been, jump ahead, all the Earths have now destroyed.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that implies that we're going to get an on your left moment here coming up
in the
finale.
Oh.
So, like,
who's going to be in that on your left moment?
I know. So,
who got his powers restored tonight by the monitor? Because we need the vibe. And then he turned him back into the vibe.
That's correct.
I wonder who else doesn't have his powers right now that could get his powers restored and come back at the end. I'm just saying, all right?
That's what I've been saying for these past couple episodes.
We're going to see what happens in a month.
And
all
we
right?
know now, they're sitting on secrets, too, you know? I like to believe your thoughts here.
Holding on to hope, man.
Yep, we know absolutely. How that hope, because even in the darkest night, hope is the beacon of life. I'm so sick of hope for
sick
Superman.
Of hope.
Right?
You know one of his girls is named Martha, too. You know it.
Yeah.
That's right. Clark and Lois is named Martha and Hope are the two names.
Martha and Hope. As long as one of them's not named Lana, I think we're good.
Or Chloe.
Well, that's another thing. Kryptonite doesn't
affect Clark. Or Alicia.
Alicia, that's good. Oh, Lois, remember that, right? It's like,
yeah.
You can't be naming daughters after ex-girlfriends if your wife knows
the ex-girlfriend.
Especially
if she was around in high school for some reason.
So, all that to say, we'll put a pin in Smallville now. If Tom Welling doesn't come back and
Fine
if nothing ever else happens, I'm totally cool with it. It's whatever happened in The Man of Tomorrow, which I have found a lot of people don't like, apparently. I thought that was right up there with, like, you know, Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen, but a lot of people are like, we don't like that. I'm like, all right, hey, if you don't like it, that's your cup of tea. But this is Infinite Earths. I think it's fine that on one Earth, Superman was Superman for a decade and then decided to have a family because this Clark Kent would do that.
Yep.
And I point to the Dark Knight trilogy saying that Tom Welling was Superman 9 years longer than Christian Bale was Batman.
That's correct.
And yes, I know we saw it on screen. It's not the point that he was Superman. The point is that we never saw him be Superman. But now I'm like, when people start to really hate something, I'm kind of like, you know, this is funny. I'm a hater, right? But I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to defend this now. Because it's like, people are so like, screw you, Tom Welling. We wanted to see you in a costume. You ruined my life. It's like, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. All right? Like, what did you, like, you did it again. Like, hey, and if you're out there and you're listening, I don't mean to offend you.
Welcome.
But I'm just saying, let's welcome. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. But like, let's just take a step back and get some perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a big fan of Smallville and you love the Clark Kent character, why would you be upset that he got a happy ending with a family? Right?
Correct.
So let's talk about tonight's episode of Crisis on Infinite Earths. Sorry. The Flash episode. Let's talk about the two big things. I know we kind of touched on it, but the Birds of Prey. Yes, we heard Dina Meyer's voice as Oracle.
Yes, that amazing. Cool. Mm-hmm. And that what you guys were saying, is that canned footage or, you know, canned audio? That's new stuff. That was.
Yeah. She didn't say anything about the wave.
Yeah, the Birds of Prey.
So
there was that tsunami episode. Yeah, no,
that makes a lot, and it makes a lot of sense because obviously, you know, Oracle was always the person in the chair.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got too excited last night thinking, oh my God, they must have gotten a chair and they rebuilt a part of the clock tower. Like, obviously, I got a little ahead of myself.
Right. But, and that's why I'm glad they kept that a secret. Like, they should have just completely kept it a secret. But, like, last night, there was some hints. Guggenheim was always throwing out hints.
A friend of mine who I sold a piece to, or one of the Huntress Belts to, had tweeted Guggenheim and was like, just it was a little like upset that he hadn't asked Dina. God, here we go, Zach. spoilers for the Birds of Prey show coming up. But it was a little upset that he hadn't asked Dina to be a part of it. And I think his tweet back was, I'll accept your apology in 24 hours, which is
I saw that. Oh, that was your friend that said that?
Yeah, that's
funny.
Was she does Ashley's website and I think Dina's as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And Huntress, she's always hopping around with Oracle in her ear and earpiece, so it makes perfect sense.
Oh,
like, it didn't feel like forced or anything.
Nope.
It was blinking, you miss it. Now, that's a cameo. You know, that's a cameo.
Yes,
Robert Wool's a cameo. Burt Ward's a cameo.
It's better for me than the Burt Ward one. If it had just been, like, Huntress turning around and seeing it, that would have killed me a little. I know it was kind of that, but it was just, like, I got the
she's
feeling
she's flying
that,
off rooftops!
I got the feeling that she was that they were doing what they were, they're still out there defending their city, you know? And,
right.
And
she's wearing the necklace.
The original necklace. And I got that feeling that, you know, kind of business as usual for them. They were doing the best that they could to stop this thing. But obviously the Birds of Prey are ill equipped.
And that is what the Crisis on Infinite Earths, if you read the comic book, it's like there's all these little snippets of different Earths getting like, you know, what, and the hero's like, oh no, what do we do? And they just get erased.
And then
like,
they just die.
And it has weight because we know and care about these other characters, right?
Correct.
That's why they're showing us characters we know and actors we know. And that's the great thing about it. Do you wish, though, that they hadn't said, Ashley Scott's going to be in Crisis, right? And what do you think?
Maybe a little bit, but no. It's been so exciting to know that she was part of it. It was so exciting to see some of the stuff that she's posted and like wasn't allowed to. There was a nice picture she posted of her and John Wesley Shipp behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I think it's just like, as a fan of Ashley herself, it's been really cool to just like know that this was happening and kind of be part of it in a small little fanish way. I know that friend of mine I just mentioned, shout out to Landy, it probably feels the same way. As I wish it was the whole episode was Birds of Prey, but I'm not going to complain. Like, this show died so long ago and nobody cared. The fact that it's been revived and kind of validated here at all is really exciting for me. And I hope exciting for the actresses too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point. Like, she's jumping around on the roof talking to Oracle. It wasn't like
Burt
Ward walking his dog. It's, nice as that was.
Yeah, but he's a retired Robin. I love the idea that Helena and Barbara are still doing what they do.
Mm-hmm. On Earth 203.
We're still doing what they do. Yeah. And again, maybe she's on the left too. You know, we'll see what happens. I hold out.
Your left.
I'm done making predictions or hopes for the future, but I just like I look forward to the last 2 hours of this.
All right, very good. So, speaking of predictions, I made some predictions on social media about who the seven paragons are going to be.
completely wrong.
Oh.
because it's like, you know, in the trailer for Crisis, the monitor's like, there are seven paragons across the multiverse. I didn't expect half of them to be on the team.
They're like, we're going to
have to go around and collect all these heroes. I'm like, oh, that's a great concept. That's a great concept. Right. But it's not that at all. So in the spoilers, of course there's spoilers. But to jump ahead to the end, and we'll kind of work our way back, there's only seven people, period.
Yes.
That survived. So
crazy.
Lila comes back having been infected or possessed by the anti-monitor, and she brings the anti-matter wave to destroy the last Earth. Earth One is the last Earth, by the way.
Yep.
We'll get to that. But so Pariah is like, oh, I know what I have to do. So what Pariah does is he takes the seven paragons and transports them to the Source Wall.
Vanishing point.
Vanishing point. See, it's like in Star Trek, you have the galactic barrier at the center and the great barrier.
I'd kill if they brought us to the Source Wall. That'd be amazing.
Galactic barrier's on the edge. Like it's, so you get, there's lots of the places in the DC universe that you can get confused.
Earth Prime. Mm-hmm. Where's Earth Prime?
Earth Prime is, I want to see someone reaching toward the TV screen.
Yeah.
That's when you need 3D TV. Yeah. That was so cool. That was an Infinite Crisis. That was an Alexander Luther. It's like, I finally found it. Mm-hmm. And he's like reaching towards us. That's so cool. So they go to the vanishing point. And the seven paragons, right? It's Kingdom Come Superman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll get to him in a second. Sarah Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Batwoman.
Three.
Supergirl.
Four.
Ryan Choi.
Yes.
The new Adam.
The new Adam.
Ryan Routh is leaving.
Welcome to the team, pal.
Martian Manhunter.
Martian Manhunter, who I forgot. I was like, oh yeah, Martian Manhunter. Where the hell have you been?
And Barry.
And Barry. The Flash, right? So
he's the paragon of love.
Yeah, most of those guys are already on the main cast of Arrow. And no Huntress and no Kingdom Come Batman. No Tom Welling Superman. Whoops. None of them are involved. So, but guess what? Ryan Reynolds Superman also erased from existence because Lex Luthor used the Book of Destiny to switch. I'm like, oh!
John Cryer will not be denied, man. Like, he's going to be in this crossover.
He is throwing 100 in this, and I love it.
And he's great.
I love him as Lex Luthor. Like, yep. I had a feeling I would love him because, again, the comedy background is key, I think. And
he's like the evolved Lex Luthor. We love Rosenbaum, but he was growing the same way that Tom was. Tom is not my favorite Superman. But
what?
I'm sorry. But no, my favorite Superman is in this. But John gets to be full-fledged Lex, and it's the first time he's done really like straight from the comics like this.
Yeah, and he's just like, if you open, other than the beard, which I think is cool, which kind of differentiates him from the rest. Yep. I like that. Like, it's like a, I don't know, like, oh, I know that's John Cryer's Lex Luthor, right? If you open up the comics, like this kind of weaselly little guy, like that's the perfect combination of the mad scientist Lex Luthor, but the business Lex Luthor with the suits and all that. So I don't like amazing. Page to screen. I love it. I love what he's doing with the character. And obviously he's another legacy casting as Lenny Luthor. So So I'm glad he's playing such a large role because Lex Luthor is
agreed.
One of my favorite characters in comics. So getting all that aside, that's the cliffhanger.
So much.
But rewinding a little bit, it's the Flash episode, so we get the Flash supporting characters. We get Vibe.
Getting his powers back.
Welcome back, pal. Yeah.
I am not caught up with the Flash, but apparently Vibe lost his powers, Lance.
Yeah, last season he developed a metahuman cure, and he took it for himself.
Oh, like Heroes.
Yes.
What is this?
Yeah, and speaking of Heroes, Dr. Mahinder Suresh is on the show.
Did he invent the metahuman cure?
No. Cisco did.
Cisco
and Caitlin developed it, and then Cisco took it because he didn't want to be Vibe anymore.
Damn
it,
to cure. I say we are the cure. Anyway, okay. So the monitor gives him his powers back because I need your help, Vibe.
You have a purpose.
Yeah, you're not a paragon, but you have a purpose too.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, thanks for that, monitor.
What the hell?
Yeah. So there's
you're sort of important.
Yeah.
You're so cannon fodder too, you know?
And then Elongated Man. And then Killer Frost go along for the ride with Nash to go back to where he opened the door to let out the anti-monitor. And so they have to Vibe his memories to find it. And they get in, and Barry gets in. And what happens whenever we find a mysterious speedster locked away somewhere on the Flash?
Who is it? Cosmic treadmill, by the way.
But let's not forget, remember when Zoom captured John Wesley's ship and put him in a cage? Yes, it's the worst luck. That was Jay Garrick Flash,
that's
by
true.
The way. Which I guess it's answer, unless they're on the left as well. We didn't see Jay Garrick or Jesse Quick or,
nope.
right.
or Harry, because they right. even mentioned, like, or, you know, the monitor's talking about
Earth. They mentioned that Earth 2 is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a brief, like, oh my God, they're all gone. So I guess where's Wally West these days?
He was like I think the show said that he was like at like some temple in Tibet or something like that.
He's gone now.
He's just gone.
Because we haven't seen him since he left the Legends, basically.
Correct. Yeah. Joe had some throwaway line because because Joe took a leave of absence because Jesse L. Martin suffered some injury off screen.
Oh, we didn't.
And
know
so that. Yeah, so his character went off and he took a sabbatical and then he went to go visit Wally. Yeah, there was some throwaway line about him being in visiting him in a monastery somewhere or something like that.
Well, they're all dead. Everyone is dead.
Yeah,
that ties into the Legends.
Earth 167.
Even Cecile. Ugh, man, that's a shame that she's gone.
Even Earth 167 is dead.
Yeah.
So which I was waiting for the.
That's Smallville. Smallville. Sorry.
Get with it. He's over there. He's got his mind on Earth 203. What show are we on? Not thinking about. So, I'm going to change the intro. Like, welcome to Always Home to Smallville, Chronicle of the Adventures of Superman on Earth 167.
Yeah, 167.
Designate 167. So my idea was, you could see, the red skies. You see President Luthor. Use the stock footage. They always love using Smallville President Luthor, the red skies.
Of him just in front of that curtain.
Yeah, yeah. Just looking out to the West Wing set, just looking outside. They even have the shot of him, looking up at the red skies. Uh-huh. Come on. And even in the series finale, there's the apocalypse, red sky. Like, there's so mm-hmm. much stock footage. Which, by the way, did you like my fake clip from part one with Green
I did,
Arrow?
Very much. That could have
fit. Some people got fooled by that, and I was very proud of it. So, anyway. Yep. Like, oh my God, they got Justin Hartley! I'm like, yeah, they did. Yeah.
Which I also love, just in a broader sense of how this is going. Like, I just rewatched some of the Kevin Conroy stuff while we were waiting for our very technological setup here today. And I was watching some of the Kevin Conroy stuff, and I hadn't noticed that the Anton First Batmobile is pretty much under a tarp in his Batcave. And obviously, Brandon Routh's Superman was working out of the Smallville Daily Planet. I like that these worlds are kind of cross-contaminating some of the iconography here and props and whatnot. Obviously, it's kind of easier for the productions to do it that way, but I just like that idea of what Lex said, where destinies kind of have a way of aligning.
Yeah.
This other stuff does too. Like, you're going to find this building and they're going to put a globe on top of it and you're going to work out of there, you know?
So, speaking of destiny, it was destined that the Flash die in Crisis.
Yes. Right? Oh, sorry, bud.
We had the Flash. And I think, as we all knew, it wasn't going to be the Grant Gustin Barry Allen.
Of course.
Well, it was going to be...
Sorry, it was just, I didn't mean to take away from you. But, I mean, they put that shot of the John Wesley Ship logo in tatters in one of the trailers. And it's from then on.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see that.
Close-up shot of the lightning bolt sitting there.
Oh, you're like, I wonder whose Flash it is.
Yeah, guess who? Barry doesn't wear that, you know?
He's on the cosmic treadmill, which is from the comics. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's I guess if you think about, the Crisis on Infinite Earths was 12 issues.
Yes.
And I don't know which one the Flash died in. I think it was issue 7.
I think it's 7 or 8.
Yeah, and it's near the end.
It's kind of midway, yeah.
Matt is now consulting his Book of Destiny.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Is that an absolute edition of that, by the way, Matt?
No, it's just kind of the big nice one that they did. I want the deluxe edition. I want that absolute edition. Jesus.
Oh, I got that. I got that one.
Show off.
It's beautiful.
I believe
in my memory, I thought it was more near the end of the Crisis where the Flash sacrifices himself. But
it looks like.
Ha!
Okay, issue.
Got it.
Nicely done.
So, if you're going to condense 12 to 5, mm-hmm. 8 to 3 makes sense. So it seems like the timeline is the events are going forward. The Flash sacrifices himself. We get the Danny Elfman Flash theme, which is so great.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Elfman's making bank on this crossover.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Keep getting them checks, Danny.
Every episode so far.
That's true. And it's so great to hear that that theme, those reorchestrations of it. And so he's talking about they're in the anti-monitor's chamber, I guess is the best way to describe it. So they're in there and they're like, "Oh no. this we can't stop the antimatter wave.
Right.
And then we cut to like the side note, we cut to the Wave Rider and Lois Lane sitting there just like, ah, it feels so useless. I'm just watching these Earths disappear. And she you see Earth 73 get destroyed. You're like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, oh wait, that's Black Lightning's Earth. Because Black Lightning was created in 1973?
77, actually.
What is with these numbers?
So I'm not exactly sure what...
I don't understand. Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure why they gave it 73, but...
But, you know, it was interesting. Lois just starts talking to the monitor, and he's like, yes, I had a wife, and I wish I cared more about my family than my work. But, you know, and then he's like, stops, like, I can see why, Lois Lane, you were a great journalist, because I guess people just talk to her.
Yeah.
I like that, though. And gonna have Lois in here. Let's give her a nice little scene with the monitor, because, you know, the monitor dies in this episode, so that's our last kind of human moment, if you will, with the monitor. But Pariah brings Jefferson Pierce in to help contain the anti-monitor cannon, right? That's what it was. And,
right.
And at least that was in the comic books. I don't know what they called it here. But he's like, you told me my world's dead. Like, I really liked his whole reaction to all this.
Oh, yeah, no. Jefferson Pierce is great. Like, Black Lightning is great. And if you guys aren't watching Black Lightning, you're doing yourself a disservice. Watch that show. It's great.
I like how Killer Frost is like, hey, we got to... Hey, Lightning guys. Like,
I'm Black Lightning. Right? I love it.
And so they have a little skirmish when he first shows up. They kind of talk him down And he says his catchphrase he tells all the students, right?
Well, he says it to himself, like kind of, where's the future is like right here. And then like, whose future is it? It's like, you know, it's mine. And what am I going to do with it? It's like, live it. And whose life is it? And it's like, and the response that his students say is, it's mine. And what am I going to do with that? You know, that referring to that life. And they're like, live it by any means necessary. And so and that's what he's saying to himself as he's trying to contain all this energy. And it's interesting because like he's like a little bit later when they say when they're like, yeah, we're gonna do this by, you know, by any means necessary, like, you know,
Diggle's the one that says it.
And that's when like the best moment of the episode happens, when the two brothers like acknowledge each other and give each other the nod. Like, it was so good. It was amazing.
That's part of the episode right there.
Diggle's been waiting how many seasons for that nod?
Exactly. It's like that scene in Not Another Teen Movie, which is the best movie in cinema. Not the best movie. It has the best scene in all cinema, where the two black guys meet each other at the party, and it's like, I'm supposed to be the only black guy at this party. It's like, oh, man, dang. Well, they just kind of understand, and the other guy leaves. It's hilarious. I've been there, ladies and gentlemen. I've been there.
But it was great to finally pull in Black Lightning into this multiverse, because people are always like, is he on Supergirl's Earth, or what's his deal? Like, where is he, right? And as you find out on, because they mentioned superheroes before.
Yes.
And then he shows up, right, and he's like, oh, this whole Superman thing's real?
Yeah.
I love it. He's two Superman. But, yeah, I mean, he's kind of more the everyman, because he's not been plugged into any of this stuff until now. So it's kind
of
refreshing.
Well, yeah, he's been doing his own thing.
And he bonds,
you know,
with
the
Flash.
The everyman with lightning powers. Yay.
Yes, the every lightning bat.
Bond over some poetry and how, like, and he accept. He's like, all right, Barry's cool because he knows who Dylan Thomas is,
right.
Which is pretty cool.
I'll help you, Flash.
Yeah.
See, these are some of the dialogue lines that I didn't get to hear. But
but to bring us back to the anti-monitor chamber, all this is going down, and Barry from Earth 90, Earth 90 Flash, honestly, shipped. Cisco's able to vibe him out of the cosmic turmoil,
right.
And he's like, oh no, you got to put me back, or it's going to self-destruct and destroy everything simultaneously. They only have a few minutes, so they have to figure all this stuff out. So this is when our Barry Allen from Earth 1 is like, oh, well, this is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to die. And then we get a flashback to a scene that took place earlier in the episode, but they saved to this moment,
mm-hmm.
with him talking to Iris and saying goodbye. And I was like, I guess you put it here for the most emotional impact, but, could have just shown it to us when it happened. Like, it's like, it's supposed to be some reveal.
Yeah.
He's like, no, they would have said goodbye. So he's like, all right, well, this is it. You know, the Flash has to die. Here I go. But then John Weiss's ship's like, sorry, son. And he sucks all his speed.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I had a wife. And Tina used to tell me, he was like,
and I was like, yes, Tina!
Tina McGee! People saying he ended up with Megan Lockhart. What are you talking about, people?
Hey,
Tina McGee.
I really like Megan Lockhart, but he was supposed to end up with Tina.
Yeah. So that's great that. And his Earth is, well, I guess all the Earths have been destroyed at this point. But, like, well, Barry has something to live for in theory right now.
Correct.
And John Wesley Ship Flash, he's been without an Earth since Elseworlds.
Right.
You know? When the Justin Hartley Green Arrow died there.
I was going to say, yeah, exactly. Same thing. has he been on this treadmill since Elseworlds? Was that?
Seems that way.
This is what happens. He gets captured by these villains,
God.
And they just do horrible things to him. Right?
Oh, man.
So
he's taking it well for
having
right? run that long.
Yeah, I mean, he's the OG Flash, man, in live action. So, So, and again, I just want to say that I love how they replicated his costume to the T.
Oh, it's perfect. You
know? Like, we don't have to sit here and talk about, like, the bat signal's different and the Joker's dead, you know, talking about Earth 89. No, Earth 90 is on point with its continuity, all right?
It's like weird velvety suit. It looked great, you know?
So, but I like that it's different, you know?
I know,
like,
I love the suit. It's just so strange.
Universe. I love it's, it. That he put, finally, I want to say the last, this season and last season of The Flash, the CW Flash, the Grant Gustin suit finally looks good.
Oh,
there was
great.
A long, there was a long run there. It's like,
See, the suit looked good last year, but that helmet cowl, was
without
such
the
a
chin
mistake.
Strap, it looks so weird.
Yeah,
so
but this year they nailed it.
Yeah, this is like the second best live action Flash suit. And hey, we finally got to see Grant Gustin and John Winston Shipp together as two Flashes.
Yes.
He was here last time, Oliver Queen was
there. Yeah, I know.
I love the pictures from Elseworlds, but it's always like, oh, God damn it, Steven. You know?
But then they literally show us stock footage because Pariah's like, oh, well, when the monitor wished him away, we see stock footage from Elseworlds. I'm like, yeah, Elseworlds. We remember. But he steals Barry's speed, and which I guess the speedsters can
temporarily
be they go in the Flash time to talk.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So then, but anyway, get the Tina McGee reference confirmed that they got married and stuff. And then he gets on the treadmill, and Barry doesn't want to leave, but they're like, we gotta go, you know, we gotta go because everything's falling apart. And they hear the da 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 da, and you see him run real fast. And I gotta say that the speed effect when he was running on the treadmill looked just like the speed effect from the '90s show, which I thought, you know,
it was a nice touch.
It was like the stop motion kind of thing.
Yeah,
that was really cool. But anyway, you see him start to disintegrate, and then we get a scene, just a moment from the Flash show 1990. And it's Barry Allen and Tina McGee.
Yep.
And he's like, I have faith in you, Tina. And she's like, well, I have faith in you too, Barry. And they just kind of smile. And I'm like, that's a good way of like giving you something from that. Because you wanted something from that. And you know, one of my predictions in Elseworlds was like, I know how Elseworlds is going to end. It's going to end with, because it started with the devastated Earth 90. I'm like, oh, it's going to end like whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow, where the Flash is just in the future. And he's got like a wife and kid and Julio's going to come in. It's going to be great. And maybe that scene will happen in Crisis Part 5. I don't know.
Was just going to ask that. Like, I think there's a chance. I mean, obviously, a lot of these worlds are going to come back, and they shot on the streets of Canada, so we've seen some of the fights that are coming up.
Right.
My just interpretation of it is that John Wesley Shipp is gone. Like, he made the sacrifice play for the universe.
Kind of like Black Widow made the sacrifice play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and then she got a solo movie the next year.
That we're all super excited for.
The right movie at the wrong time.
Wrong time.
So, yes. But anyway, that's a prequel. So, yes, I think there's certain characters are dead. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Now, in the comic books, remember, Barry Allen was gone for like a decade. And this Jeff Johns took over DC Comics. He's like, I like my favorite characters. So forget you, Wally West and Kyle Gallner.
Kyle Rayner.
That would have been great to see Kyle Gallner running in there with.
Yeah, that would have been fun too. Yeah, but, anyway. But like Zach, as the big Flash fan, Flash 90 fan, are you cool with this being the death of that Barry Allen?
Yes, because, I mean, he saved the multiverse, right? Or at least postponed the destruction of it.
Yeah,
for another 2 hours.
Because that is such an iconic thing to happen in the comic books. Like, the whole Flash TV show, when we saw the headline in the end of the pilot of The Flash, which is probably called Pilot, like all the shows do, you know, the Flash disappears in Crisis, Red Skies, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's the destiny of the Flash. Everybody knows that, you know?
Right.
And so to take, you know, the OG live action Flash and make him that Flash makes a lot of sense to me. And so I feel like that's a really epic ending for the character. Much like if Tom Welling comes back at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths and, like, you know, he dies. Maybe he's wearing a costume of some kind. We don't know.
That would be fun.
You know, that would be cool.
Yeah.
But if he comes back and he's the guy that sacrifices himself to kill the Anti-Monitor, I'd be like, that's great. Because like my hero from my favorite show just saved the multiverse.
Yes.
And also he had a good life for like 20 years before this. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So
when Huntress comes back and does it instead, you guys are going to have to answer for that.
Thank God. You know what we didn't get? For the Huntress, we didn't get any cat sound effects for jumping around, Matt. I didn't see one eye change into a cat.
It's true.
That's what I'm looking for in the Crisis.
Stay tuned on Patreon, y'all.
Well, here's the difference, I guess, is because like they're never, ever, ever going to do anything with the John Wesley Shipp Flash. Like, I would have really liked one episode on like Earth 90.
Oh, that would have been cool.
to get a taste of it.
Again,
but we
they
haven't
have
really
the
gotten
suit.
I mean, you know how much time they spent on that suit? And again, it's a blink and you miss a thing. But I was like, this is the Flash episode. He's in it. I think he's not getting out of this episode. This is his episode.
Yeah.
But I, you know, for a show that got one, much like you in Birds of Prey, for a show that got one season, just to see them come back and go in this and be acknowledged. And also just ultimately, like I said, it's part of the Flash mythology that this happens to the Flash. So I'm satisfied with this. It is really cool. So now I'm going to rewatch The Flash 90 at some point. I can do that over a weekend.
And in fairness, too, I'm happy for you. But like mine was like a kiss from an old flame. Like, you spent the night with your old flame with this one. You know? You got a lot out of it.
Got a lot.
Giggity giggity.
Oh. So he dies. And then what else happens? So, oh, yes, yes. In the Let's Resurrect Oliver Queen subplot.
Yes.
Which I didn't care for at all, but now I'm really into because Lucifer showed up.
Yeah.
Lucifer Morningstar on Earth 666.
Uh-huh.
Perfect Earth for that. And of course, Constantine is the great way to find him, and they're at a club. I don't know. I love the Lucifer scene.
Yeah, no, that was great. And that was a really good scene, and it was a really good cameo. Like, it was well executed, well placed, well timed. Like kudos to everybody involved in that.
How much Lucifer have you seen?
A season.
Okay, that's season 3?
No, not the one with Tom.
Not the one with Tom Welling!
Because I was watching it before.
And Matt, you haven't seen any of Lucifer.
I haven't seen any of it. This was the first time watching these shows where I'm like, I have no idea what this is. You know, like, I mean, I knew who it was, but it's just like, he was a completely new character, but like, so charming. It totally worked on me. And now I want to watch the Tom season.
There you go, season 3.
So here we are.
And then I believe it's actually got renewed for season 4 on Netflix, and I think they're getting a season 5. So,
yeah,
you know,
it's out already, isn't it?
Season I gotta 4 say, I only watched it because Tom Welling. It's like, Tom Welling's from Turn to Television. That's what they actually promoted
it
as.
I remember.
And I was like, oh, okay, whatever. Like, Tom Welling was like the worst part of it. Because, but the thing was, though, I understood why. I'm like, he's just
It was done intentionally.
Character, but there's a huge twist about his character's identity halfway through the season.
Yeah, like, I listened to this podcast. I know what it was. But I'm still excited to eventually watch it.
That's how it is, right. So, but it's like a fun procedural with the devil. It's CSI with the devil.
Right. That's I would do like a greatest hits. I'd watch like the best 5 episodes or something like that. It seemed cool.
So, anyway, just it's fun to the full thing. That's another show on another network that's not part of this universe.
And that's not like superhero-y, you know, like kind of the same way. At least Constantine had like those really, John Constantine knew the Justice League and Justice League Dark and all that.
Yeah.
The Lucifer things felt so left field, but I love that and I love that he had a relationship kind of with John, like they both knew of each other here.
And, right.
Yeah.
But I buy that based on the circles that Constantine.
Totally.
Exactly.
Constantine would have absolutely
it makes
met
sense.
The devil. Like Keanu Reeves did. You know?
I wonder if they asked him.
They
asked Nicolas Cage to be Superman.
I know. That would have been amazing.
That would have been amazing.
But I'm not complaining about any of the Superman stuff we get. I love Tyler. I loved the Tom scene. And Brandon is killing it as old Superman.
Well, now he's dead because he got, I guess, switched with Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
he'll be back.
It was a swap.
On your left. I'm sitting Tony.
Remember, everyone, that I'm not sure which producer was. It was either Guggenheim or Berlanti. They were like, all the Supermen are going to be in a scene together. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So to me, that says they're all going to be in a scene together now.
Which
we'll
could
see.
Be press tour bull, you know. Right. But let's cling on to hope. We've got 2 more hours.
That's right.
Yeah. Always hold on.
To hope.
To hope.
Exactly. Hope. God's sakes.
It's like a river, you know?
It's like your keys, you know? They're always there when you find them. What? Get that cell phone in my face, kid.
Hero pie.
So they go to Leon U. Because that's Oliver's purgatory. That makes sense.
It is Mandarin.
I love that Mia calls it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for... Is everybody paying attention? Yeah. So they find Oliver there, and he's in his green hood, and he like tackles him for a second, but Diggle's like, come on, man, I need you. You know, I'm glad they had a moment. Right?
Yeah, because, I mean, well, they had a moment in the last Arrow episode, right? And it was a really good one. And so, again, I'm not sweating any of this Oliver stuff because we have 2 more episodes of Arrow. However, it is interesting, though, that like he's been recruited to be the Spectre.
because he has a green hood. It makes perfect sense.
Who has a huge cosmic presence in the original. Like, this makes total sense. That this is kind of like the universe started with him, and in a weird way, it feels like he's going to be the guardian of it.
Yeah.
Now, Jim
this
Corrigan,
is speculation, but we'll see.
But that's a good, yeah.
Jim Corrigan, who is the Spectre, you know, traditionally in DC Comics, he's on this Leon New Purgatory with Oliver.
Hanging out.
And they're about to leave. Like Oliver remembers himself. He's going to leave with Diggle and Constantine and his daughter.
Yeah.
And he's like, and John Corrigan shows up. Oliver
Wait.
Queen, yeah. stop. I am the Spectre. It's like, that is so much exposition.
It was odd, yeah.
Hello, I am here to announce the next plot development.
Right.
And, but this is not the actor who played the Spectre on Constantine, because there was a Jim Corrigan in a couple episodes on Constantine.
That's
right. That actor went on to play Lobo on Krypton. So
that was that guy. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Infinite Earth, though, fine.
Yeah.
But then I mean, like, when you see Oliver in the green hood, I'm like, oh, of course he's gonna be the Spectre, and that's why the Spectre looks the way he does, because Oliver Queen has the green hood. So that's how he's gonna at least play out this crisis. Who knows where his future lies?
And that's how he's gonna stick around the Arrowverse.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. He'll be around.
Special appearance by Stephen Amell.
Exactly. Right. That's what it's gonna be. They'll get him for one day.
He is the Robert Downey Jr. of the Arrowverse.
Yes, he is.
That's why he's going to pop up and be everybody's Mr. Stark, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Queen!
The Queen ended her shit.
So good, Mr. Queen!
And, like, at this point, none of these actors want to say no to this paycheck. You know, like, I know that he doesn't want to do the show all the time, but that will always be a good thing for them to keep, you know, legacy coming back like this.
So we'll see what happens. So the Oliver resurrection thing did go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still like the weakest plot line in all these episodes, because it's like, come on.
Well, it's I don't know. It's either that or the Kara like trying to, you know, bring back her Earth, and Batgirl being like, Batwoman being like, this is not a good idea, but I'm the paragon of hope. This is not a good idea, but I'm the paragon of hope.
I thought they were going to fight there.
Wish they would have.
Like, I'm going to stop you. And she's like, you can't stop me. And like, she has the kryptonite from Bruce Wayne. I'm like, oh, they're going to fight with the kryptonite.
I thought they were.
There's only so many fights they can have in this crisis, but I would have loved to see that. So
I too, but I like how it went, though, because she still got that kryptonite. Like, there's going to be a crossover.
No, but she gives it. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
She's going to give it back to Supergirl. But Supergirl's like, no, you keep it, which is, of
which
course,
is just
Batman,
what
Superman.
Yeah, uh-huh. Superman did to Batman. Yeah. It's great.
Because, you know, this is the CW versus the Arrowverse. So everything that Batman and Superman did in the comic books, Batwoman and Supergirl have to do on the show.
That's correct.
They're the ones we can afford.
But I guess they're like, all right, you can't have Batman, but you can have as many Supermen as you want, because we're never making another Superman movie.
You know, you know what? Do a show. We don't even care.
You know, Tyler Hoechlin, I loved him when he showed up on Supergirl. I think he's great as Clark and Superman, but of the Superman we've seen in this crisis, he is the third most, like, he is third
totally.
On my list of
I mean,
what I would
guy.
Like to see. I want to see Tom and Erica raise kids
as
normal people on Smallville. I want to see Brandon Ralph exist in the Kingdom Come universe.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Give us Superman Returns, too, right? Get Kate Bosworth back. She's finally old enough to play Lois Lane.
Go ahead.
Oh no! Just put Brandon Routh on HBO Max and get that Superman Kingdom Come show going. Like,
right.
Let's go! Like, let's do that right. Greenlight that right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm into that, or even the miniseries.
So,
yeah.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you make it a containment, like literally make Kingdom Come completely isolated from anything else, but then it's like the history of that Superman, quote unquote, is the Christopher Reeve Brandon Routh stuff,
and Legacy cast the hell out of it, and we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need Linda Carter. Where's Wonder Woman in this? I know.
She's the only one of the Trinity that doesn't have really a
representation. I mean, because like you've seen on Twitter, like, you know, you've seen the Alex Ross picture of Kingdom Come Superman and Brandon Routh, and you've seen the Alex Ross Batman like in an exoskeleton, and then you've seen Kevin Conroy, and then you've seen the, you know, now with Wonder Woman 84,
we
have
the
Golden Eagle armor, which holy crap, that's amazing. So like, it's all happening. Like, what a time, man. What a time.
If there was one hero to show... They're not going to do this. Okay. But if there was one hero to show up from the DCU, you talking about Kingdom Come, it'd be Zachary Levi as Shazam.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, that's interesting, too. It just seems like Gaal is a team player here.
Well, no. But, I mean, Zachary Levi is a television actor
for
several years.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, he was on NBC.
Bring Chuck over. I get it.
He was on Heroes Reborn. That's why I did that.
Right. And wasn't Brandon...
Brandon Routh was it? I need to watch Chuck, because apparently everybody...
Yeah. Lana was on Chuck.
Yeah.
Linda Hamilton was in Chuck.
And James Bond. It was everybody.
Oh, my God. Timothy Dalton was in Chuck.
Like, man.
I'm sure I would love this show, right? But, you know, I watched Jake 2.0 when it came out back in the day. And basically, that's what Chuck was. If you don't know what Jake 2.0 is, go look it up. It was Chuck before Chuck. It was on UPN. Check it out.
Okay.
So, anyway. Yeah, so yeah, Supergirl's like, that's my purpose. I'm going to resurrect my Earth. And that probably is what she's going to do at the end. They keep teasing that. So I guess.
Do you think, or did she just resurrect? Like, I thought the whole idea
of this
was
that
they're
going to.
I don't know.
Like, are they going to combine them all? Or
yeah, exactly.
What do you think?
I'd like to see it all get merged together at the end. At least get all these heroes onto the same Earth.
Well, that means the Smallville Earth really is going to be destroyed. Everyone's like, it's fine. They lived happily ever after. Yeah, the Earth just got destroyed.
Well, yeah, I get what you mean, because we can't really play favorites, can we?
Yeah. It's like, if you're, if I have to choose between the Smallville Earth and Arrowverse, I'm going to pick the Smallville Earth.
I mean, I think the internet was with me. Like, I always thought that the end game of this was to stop having to jump from world to world when we want to go visit Supergirl. Like, bring her to Earth 1 or some version of that. And same thing with Jefferson.
It would be, remember Infinite Crisis when they're like, all right. We did another crisis, but now there's 52 Earths, and that's
it. Right.
Mm-hmm. The problem, like we were talking about last night.
Yes.
It's podcast every day. But the problem with the Arrowverse is they do all this cool stuff too early, and then they can't do it again. So they've had the 52 Earths already.
Right. Yeah.
So like to be like, all right, we're back down to 52 Earths. That would be so anticlimactic.
It'd be
like, so we're back where we started.
Yeah.
So what about the Gorilla Grodd Earth? What's he doing?
I don't know.
So yes, all of the Earths are gone now. Like they establish, like, there's only one Earth left. It's Earth 1, and then the final punch is like that Earth got destroyed. And they went to not the source wall, but the vanishing point at the end, and that's a relief thing. So that's our big cliffhanger for the end of these three episodes of Crisis on Infinite Earths, and we're gonna wait for our 2-hour movie event when they fight at the beginning of time.
Yes,
cannot wait.
Is that what happens in the comics? They go back to the beginning of time.
No, they go to a. They go to like that Cord world or something like that. They go to a planet, right?
So clearly they found
at one
some
point, but
desert
don't they go back
area.
To the beginning? Don't I they go think... back to the beginning of time? Isn't that where the Spectre helps them make a stand?
But because that's where it all started, right? The Monitor accidentally created the Anti-Monitor at the beginning of time, and
yeah,
because
he was trying
sense.
To see the beginning.
Yeah, that's
of
creation.
It.
Yeah.
The other planet thing happens earlier, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And was kind of mimicking what happened in like the bunker in this one.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's our teaser. They found some rocky area at the in Canada. That's
in the
where they're filming
point.
It. So, so there you have it. So any last thoughts, in Matt, on this episode?
I mean, we could talk about the other things that happened in this episode, but all of it, all that I care about, is the first 15 seconds with Ashley Scott running around. I can't wait to just kind of like rewatch that 80 times, just like I did rewatch the Smallville and the Kevin Conroy stuff from last night already.
Absolutely. Lance, what about you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a break, but
yes.
I'm definitely ready for the conclusion. Like, I'm excited for it. Like, I knew we were gonna get a cliffhanger in this episode. Like, everything's kind of been going according to plan so far, so we'll see how it ends.
Okay. Can I also just say real quick, like, I really look forward to the fan edit that ties all this stuff together and cuts
out
the Supergirl scenes you don't care about and like that type of like what's happening with Lena crap. I look
you
forward to
you lied
to
me, Alex.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares?
I'm Jimmy Olsen's sister, and he left me his guardian shield.
Even Cisco referencing his girlfriend. It's like, we've got no time for her today. Like, don't even.
Yes.
I did love Cisco in this episode. Like, Anti-Monitor, really? That's all we got?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thank you. I love that. So, all
for
I have
Marv.
To say is on your left. I can't wait for that moment in the next episode. So we'll see. You know what? You know, Lance and I will be back. We might have some other people that show up on our left in our last podcast about this. We'll see.
Oh. Very cool.
Tom Welling will be here in costume. All right, everybody. Well, Matt, if people want to find you out there, where can they find you?
You can find me Lois and Clark. We've got 2 seasons up of that. And then check out the Always Hold On to Smallville Patreon, where you can always hold on to Birds of Prey very shortly.
That's right. That's right. We didn't. This is our official announcement of that, I guess, Matt. We haven't really announced that. So,
haven't we? Haven't you?
No, we have not announced that. So anyway, guys.
I thought we mentioned it on the Patreon.
Yeah, but we haven't released that episode
yet.
So anyway, guys, yes,
everybody.
Yes. Matt and I, if you love the 15 seconds you saw of Birds of Prey tonight, Matt and I are going to be covering every episode, all 13 episodes of Birds of Prey over on our Patreon at Always Following the Birds of Prey. Check it out. Lance, where can people find you?
They can find me at Sir Lance Laster.
And all over our Patreon as well.
Oh, yeah,
Patreon,
I'm there too.
Buddies here, all around. Place, so. Yep. And then finally for me, find me at MoronZach, MoronZach, on Twitter. And as for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysSmallville with one S, on Facebook at AlwaysSmallville, and you can send us an email at AlwaysSmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S.
And can I just say once again, Zach and Lan, thank you so much for helping a West Coaster see this early.
It's all good, man.
Absolutely. Well, we couldn't do it without you, without Birds of Prey coming back.
Yeah.
And Birds of Prey is your Smallville. So
go team.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this episode and this week of Crisis on the Infinite Earths coverage. We'll be back in a month. But until then, always hold on
to Crisis.